So in Sunday school, Chris is coming up to do the new techno wizard here now that Annette has moved on for her other duties. In Sunday school, children were asked to write letters to God. So this is a letter a little boy wrote. Dear God, I know it's very hard for you to love all of the everybodies in the world. Because I only have four people in my household, and I can barely love them. Signed, God. Okay, so this letter is sent to God from Sunday school, but we have a letter we've been looking at for the last number of weeks, and it's a letter to God. This John, for John's first letter to the churches at large. Just to give you an idea, let's review a moment. Where have we been? So we know where we're going. John was an apostle called by Jesus. He was a fisherman in business with his father, his brother, and then we believe with Peter and Andrew as well. His mom was Salome, and together they had a loving family at the north end of the Sea of Galilee. John writes this letter because he saw, he experienced Jesus doing amazing things. He saw Jesus feed 4,000, and then on another occasion, Jesus feed 5,000. He saw Jesus walk on water in the middle of a storm, and then Jesus calmed that storm. He saw Jesus demand a disciple step out and walk on the water as well. We assume the Lord of life can walk on water, but can he command another person to do it? And John saw Peter do it. John saw Jesus heal people from death, bring them back to life, as well as he saw Jesus heal blind people. Not only born with sight and then with blind, but people were born blind from birth. He saw Jesus heal the lepers and the lame. He saw Jesus heal the demon possessed. Then he saw Jesus do something that sometimes we scratch our head over. Jesus embraced sinners and those who truly we thought were lost in life. He talked to the questionable, especially women. And then he extended forgiveness. This is what Jesus did. And he gave them wholeness. But then John saw, and this is the thing about people you love, sometimes things happen to them. He saw Jesus arrested, tried, found guilty, and then crucified. And then, what a blessed day it would be when we see this. John saw the greatest of all miracles. Jesus was raised from the dead. John was there when the Holy Spirit arrived, and John was able to feel and then speak about the power of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. In order to share this, John wrote. He was a writer. He wrote a gospel, wonderful 20 chapters. He wrote three letters, and then John got, what a great gift. Yes and no? He was able to see what's going to happen at the end of time. And in order to speak to us in our modern day times, in order to speak to the people in his time, John wrote these. He wrote them to correct heresies so that we would be certain that what he saw, we now know. And one of the heresies was that Jesus wasn't real. Not in a sense like we are. That somehow he was there, but he wasn't flesh and bones. Or that he was here in flesh and bones, but he wasn't really God. John corrected that. He corrected that in his gospel, and then that's what this letter is all about. John told us that faith is important. And if we start the faith journey when we experience forgiveness, we continue on the faith journey whenever we receive that Holy Spirit touch us and we start to overcome our sin, and then that faith journey continues. As we study and read, we go deep in knowledge. We can understand the great mysteries of the world. John then shared qualities of God, that God's light. He shines into our lives so that we can know the truth. He shines into our lives so we can see what we need to correct, our sin. And then God does something about it, which is the second quality of God that John lifted up, that God is love. He doesn't say, you're sinners, get your act corrected first and then come. No, God says, you're sinners, I love you, come on in. that's what God's love does for us. Through forgiveness and the Holy Spirit, we have the power and the desire to change. John gave us memory verses in chapter 2, verse 1. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. That's Jesus Christ, the righteous one. In chapter 3, verse 1, how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. In chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then the one I read today, 5:13. These things have been written to you so that you may believe in the Son of God. As we end this series on John's first letter, let's know what John just told us here. There's power in prayer. Prayer, very simple definition, is a conversation we have with God. It's a running conversation. It's something we should be talking with God all the time because God wants to be involved not only in the things that went really well and the things that go really horrible. God wants to be involved in our life all the time. When you're looking for a parking spot or you go to the store and there's no paper towels left, I check every time I get. That's the newest round, by the way. People finally realize it's not toilet paper we need, it's paper towels we need. All right? God's there with us in every one of those. And then you think, say, God, please help my paper towels continue at home. You know, that's a running conversation we have with God. For those who are now doing very unusual things in this pandemic, talk to God about it. That's what prayer is all about. Because God wants us to have him involved in every aspect of our lives. And when we do that, we change our perspective. We're the ones who ultimately change. God hears us. God asks. But we're the ones who change. Because God changes our viewpoint from an earthly perspective to a heavenly perspective. From one lacking hope to one infused with hope. From everything is mundane to everything is to the glory of God. God changes that in us in prayer. The Apostle Paul confirmed this. John's not the only one who wrote this. Paul wrote, pray without ceasing. This daily running conversation we have with God will cure us. It'll cure us of our jealousy and cure us if we have a foul mouth. It'll cure us of our fears and it'll also cure us if we think we're way more than what we really are. This running conversation we have with God will lift us if we have too little faith and will give us greater perspective to deal with the world around us. It'll give us the ability to live each and every moment as a special day and to love even the unlovable in our minds. That's what prayer does. It helps us understand who we are and why we are. It helps us to see every interaction we have, every encounter we have is an opportunity to celebrate that special person and bring them closer to God. Prayer allows us to see ahead, past all this. Because you know what? This will pass. It allows us then to look back and reconcile the failures we've had in the past. That's what happens when we pray without ceasing. Now, the central aspect of prayer, if you run through all of what Paul wrote, if you run into what John has written, the central aspect of prayer, because we've been given the ability to look beyond the earth and look to heaven, because we've been given the ability to have faith at a deep level, the central aspect of prayer is what we celebrate this week. It's gratitude. It's thanksgiving. This week, in our national discussion, we ask each and every one of us to ponder, to meditate those things in our lives for which we're grateful, those things for which we can give thanks, the way in which God has protected us and guarded us and led us through. Now, you might be sitting there going, okay, Pastor Mark, that sounds really good, but those biblical folks, they didn't go through anything like we're doing now. They didn't experience a government that, you know, is doing what the government's doing. They didn't experience tough times in which disease was right. That's where they did not experience any of that. Folks, I hate to tell you that they experienced all of this. Johnny spent the last years of his life in solitude, in this weird fortress on Patmos, an island. He still asks us to give thanks. The Apostle Paul, who was persecuted, hunted, and chased, asked us to give thanks. And we as a nation, this has been part of the fabric of who we are. It goes back to the beginning in which we started in 1789. I know it's 1776, but 1789, with the Presidential Proclamation by George Washington. Let me give you a piece of it. All the way to our modern day times, we're asked to give thanks. George Washington, who began to serve as president over a divided nation, I hope you all realize that. Not everybody wanted to leave British rule. But it happened anyway. And George Washington then becomes president to these two fighting factions, and here's what he said. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of the great and glorious being, who is a beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto God our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care, his protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. That's what George Washington asked us to do. Abraham Lincoln, in the middle of the Civil War, we're thinking, oh, wait a second, there's no place to give thanks. He asked us to give thanks. In 1863, after the Battle of Gettysburg, in which more Americans lost their lives than any other conflict previous in any single battle, Abraham Lincoln said this about asking for thanks. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthy skies. Remind you, remember, this is in 1863, when there are so many homes affected by the war. He continued, to these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary nature they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart that is habitually insensitive to the ever-watchful providence of the Almighty God. And in the midst of this civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression, I recommend that an offering due to God, that we send our blessings back to him. In the midst of what we're going through now, we're asked to give thanks. In the midst of our tragedy and the war and the deaths we've seen, we're asked to give thanks. Not only to our national leaders, but biblically as well. And the reason for that? His gratitude unlocks our heart to be able to see what God is doing. A commentator by the name of Melody Beattie said, gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. And realize, as we share our thanks to God, God changes us. Tony Evans, we did a number of series on Tony Evans. He's a preacher in Texas. He said this viewpoint of thanks. He says, God says to give thanks in everything. That doesn't mean we need to give thanks for everything. You don't need to give thanks for that bad day or for that bad relationship or being passed over at work or financial hardship or whatever it is. You don't have to give thanks for the difficulties, but rather thanks in the difficulties. This is a very important distinction, he wrote, and one I think we often miss. Giving thanks in everything shows a heart of faith, that God is bigger than the difficulties, and that God can use them if we approach God with the right heart and spirit for your good and his glory. So, how does this impact us individually? I want to turn the clock back 49 years. It was 1971. And on this day, I was anticipating that maybe my father would be sent home from the hospital. He had had a cold that developed into pneumonia. He had gotten to a very diminished state. He had a series of strokes, 8 of them actually. And he was not the person that I grew up with. But he went to the hospital in order to deal with his cold. In the elevator, as they were making their way up to run tests, he had a heart attack. And in fact, in the elevator, he died. They brought him back to life, but there wasn't much of anything there. I went to visit him on this day, the 22nd of November. The next day, he died, right before Thanksgiving. It's one of those moments where you, as a young person, I was 14 at the time, you ask God why, what's going on, how can this be possible? A day in which we were pondering, we were going to have great family and friends in, was a day in which we were at the funeral home, at the viewing. And then he was buried right before my parents' 25th wedding anniversary. And you sit and you go, why? Now I don't bring this story to you to make you feel sad, but to give perspective. Obviously, I've moved to a different place now. 49 years was a long time to ponder. But it was only when I became a Christian, I always believed God, but when I really said, I'm going to serve you, period, 5 years later, at the age of 19, that God showed me that I can possibly give thanks in our difficulties. As a result of my father passing on, I got Social Security. And because of Social Security, I go to college. And because I went to college, Grove City College, I met my wife. Now, mind you, think about how that has impacted my life and impacted your life as well. Because if I'm here without Annette, oh, woe to you. Okay? She's the best part of us being here, let's be fair. But it's amazing how God showed that in the midst of that which is hard, God is. And in the midst of that which is difficult, God reigns. And so I share this story with you to give you an idea. But let's not lament our losses. Let's celebrate the memories God has given to us. My father was a hardworking man. That's part of what I got. My father was kind and gentle and very patient. He loved my mom, and that was a great picture for me. And then my mom loved him when he got disabled. What a great picture. It's something that has impacted how I am today. And so I just want to share with you, as we approach this time of Thanksgiving, in which the world is different than it was a year ago, it's different than it was 9 months ago, let's look up. Let's embrace the faith that is before us and say, you know what? In the midst of all that we're going on, we're going to give thanks in everything that we are doing, so that we can give to the world a great picture, a picture of what Christians do in the midst of the most hard times. A year ago, not even knowing what we were doing, I challenged you to have a thankful Thursday, not just have it on the fourth Thursday, the last Thursday of November, but every Thursday. Fill those Facebook areas with, we're grateful because of what God has done. And when you do that in the midst of the most difficult of times, you're shining that light. You're leading people to the love. You're demonstrating that there is a God bigger than our situation. Like there is a God bigger than mine that I experienced at the age of 14. Let's do this. Every Thursday, let it be a thankful Thursday. Let's go to God. Thank you, God, for the way in which you get us through. That's what you've done with all the biblical heroes. From Joseph in prison, to Joseph who thought his wife had cheated on me, to Mary who was impregnated with the Son of God, to Paul and Silas in prison, to John on an island, you've always gotten us through. Life's not always been easy, but you've always been. Help us to understand that, that in the middle of all this, we can say thank you. Thank you, God, in what we're experiencing, for the difficulties and the pain. Because on the other side, we know you'll be there. You would have led us through, and And we're going to be better people as a result of it. So thank you, Lord God. For those who are gathered here today, for those who are creating our meals, we want to say thanks. For the ability to live in this free country, we give you thanks. For those who protect our borders, our military, and those who make us safe inside, our police, our fire, and ambulance, Lord God, we want to give you thanks. For family and friends who make us who we are, who love us in spite of ourselves, and who challenge us to be more, we want to give you thanks. And most of all, thank you for Jesus, who leads us through. Lord God, it's in his name we pray.